Hello and welcome to another reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. And Merry Christmas. I hope you managed to enjoy the day, even if it didn't go quite as planned. But then again, the first Christmas didn't exactly go quite as planned. What an exciting, bewildering, overwhelming time that first Christmas must have been. I imagine it must have felt like a wonderful but baffling whirlwind for Mary and Joseph. And then in our passage for this morning, there is more drama and excitement as 40 days after the birth of Jesus, Mary, Joseph and Jesus go to the temple. So I'm going to read Luke 2, verses 22 to 38. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple court. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the Lord required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marvelled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Peniel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Mary and Joseph had gone to the temple for the purification rites for Mary, as the law dictated, and they were also presenting Jesus, making a sacrifice to thank God for the birth of their firstborn child. Again, keeping in line with what the law said. And yet, what should have been simple rituals and routine ceremonies became another opportunity for people to testify to how great Jesus is and prophesy about him, about what his arrival had achieved. Mary and Joseph marvelled at what was said about him. Upon entering the temple, Mary and Joseph encountered two prophets who spoke words of prophecy over the child. In many ways, the prophecies were similar to the other words that had been spoken to them by them about Jesus. So perhaps we might be tempted to question why they marvelled and wondered so much about these things. But there were good reasons for them to wonder at all that was happening. And I've picked out three. Surprise, salvation, and sorrow. Surprise. First, this whole situation would have been surprising to everyone. It would have been surprising for two prophets to approach Mary and Joseph and speak about Jesus. It is worth saying that while Mary and Joseph had experienced many amazing things, they probably weren't expecting even more people to recognise Jesus as significant. And especially not these two wise prophets that lived lives dedicated to God. Simeon and Anna did not know Mary and Joseph. In normal circumstances, they would have no reason to approach the couple. And yet, because of the precious child they carried, these prophets were called by the Holy Spirit to prophesy over the child and offer praises to God for him. After Jesus' birth, we are told that Mary treasured up all those things and pondered them in her heart. And so these further events at the temple would have given her more reason to be amazed and wondrous. The Message version of verse 33 states that Mary and Joseph were speechless with surprise at these words. I wonder whether Mary asked herself, "Will I ever stop being surprised by God?" And that's a good question for us to think about for ourselves. How often are we surprised by God? Do we allow ourselves to marvel and wonder at the wonderful things that God has done in our own lives, in the lives of people around us, and throughout history? Or have we become so blasé about God? I think it's easy for us to stop seeing the wonder of God and instead to try and bring him down to our level, where we can try and understand exactly who he is and fit him into our box, into the box that's in our minds. But of course, God cannot be fitted into a box. He cannot be understood by our human intellect, because then he would not be God. So I ask, can we allow God to continue to surprise us again and again? And God did continue to surprise Mary and Joseph and all the people involved as he kept highlighting the importance of Jesus' arrival. The Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon, the prophet, that he would see the Messiah before he died, and he waited patiently for that moment until finally it was here. And we don't know how long Simeon was waiting for, but he trusted in that promise that had been given to him, that he would see the Messiah with his own eyes. And finally, that prophecy had been fulfilled, that promise had been fulfilled, and he saw Jesus with his own eyes. And I wonder if Simeon was surprised that the consolation of Israel would come through the small child born to a poor couple that he was holding in his arms. Was he expecting God's Messiah to be a little baby? Or was he expecting the Messiah to come as a political or military figure? We aren't told, of course, but I think it's interesting to think about the fact that when God promises us things, it often isn't fulfilled in the way that we expect. We have thoughts and plans about how things work out, but God's plans are far more intricate and successful than ours could ever be. When we trust and follow God's plans, we are often brought to a place of complete wonder and surprise. I imagine it was also a surprise for everyone that Anna prophesied over the Messiah. There were many reasons that why Anna would have been considered a strange person to announce the Messiah. She was an old woman, a widow, during a time in which women were not considered equal in status to men. Anna had stayed in the temple after the death of her husband, after only 7 years of marriage, and she dedicated herself to God. Female prophets were rare in Israel. It was a patriarchal society which often discounted the testimony of women. Women weren't allowed to speak in court, so for a female prophet, that's quite unusual, as people might have been tempted not to listen. And yet Jesus' coming was announced and noted by both a male and a female prophet. Once again, this demonstrates that Jesus' message of salvation was for everyone. Jesus lifts up the marginalised and neglected and restores them to their full worth in him. Anna was very devout, continuing to worship God day and night with much fasting and praying. This woman, with such a painful history, was given the privilege of witnessing the Messiah and prophesying about him, bringing the redemption of Jerusalem. God doesn't conform to human understandings of who is important and who isn't. Instead, he works through even the most surprising of people. And this is true now as it was then. What is God choosing to do through you? And who else might he be working through that you might not expect? So yes, there was lots of surprise when they went to the temple. But they were wondering about the salvation that was proclaimed. Both Simeon and Anna confirmed the words that were spoken about Jesus, referring to him as the salvation they had all been waiting for. But Simeon's prophecy perhaps went a little bit further than they were expecting. The angel had told Mary that her son would reign over Jacob's descendants, and Joseph had heard that Jesus would save his people from their sins. And both of these things seemed to imply that Jesus was going to save and care for only the Jewish people. But Simeon says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." Jesus is the salvation for all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Suddenly, Jesus' birth promises good news not just for the Jews, as Mary and Joseph had believed, but for the promise of salvation is spread to the whole world. And this was a massive shift in thinking to the Jewish people, who considered themselves to be the chosen people of God. And God intended his chosen people to shine as an example and point other people to him. However, often the Jews' status as God's chosen people was interpreted as a reason to dissociate or sort of isolate themselves from Gentiles. Gentiles were considered to be outsiders, impure, and not to be mixed with. So when their Messiah was announced as a light of revelation to the Gentiles, it would have been a shock. Many Jews believed that the Messiah would be a military ruler who would liberate them from the Gentiles. But Simeon announced that the Messiah would bring hope to both Jews and Gentiles. Sometimes we are tempted to limit God's salvation to those that we consider as worthy of receiving his grace. But Jesus did truly come for everyone. None of us are worthy of God's grace, because we all rebel and do wrong against God. But we can rejoice and marvel, because God's grace is without limits, and he wants to welcome us all into his family, because everyone, no matter who they are welcome. So how can we welcome the outsider into God's family? Or perhaps you feel like you're an outsider. Well, please know that you are welcome. A third reason for Mary to wonder at what was being spoken was the announcement that she would know sorrow. So far, the prophecies spoken about Jesus, or at least the ones that she had heard, had been predominantly positive. But Simeon now includes a message of sorrow and pain. He spoke to Mary saying, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." I imagine this would have been a shock to Mary. What would it mean for Jesus to cause people to fall? How would he be spoken against? And how would her own soul be pierced? When Simeon mentioned that Jesus would be spoken against, It actually refers to more than just insults. It refers to the rejection, hatred, and eventual crucifixion that Jesus suffered. This prediction of the horror that Jesus would face and the pain Mary would experience having to watch it happen to her son would have been a horrifying realization. Up to this point, it seemed that Mary and Joseph had only really been thinking about the joy that Jesus' presence had brought. But now they were brought face to face with the cost that Jesus would bear for our sake. Often, we like to focus on the benefits of knowing Jesus. We like to know what we get out of following God. However, we don't really like to think about the cost of being a disciple. But the reality is that, yes, there are tremendous benefits, tremendous blessings and joys and comforts that come from knowing and obeying God, and these should not be minimalised. But we also cannot forget the cost of following Jesus. When Jesus was speaking to his disciples later on, he told them, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" We have to submit everything to God. And this may cause us pain and sorrow because we don't like giving up control. But if we don't, and instead we try to cling to living life as we want it, Jesus warns us that instead of saving our lives, ultimately we will lose it. When we think about that first Christmas and all the events around it, it is hardly surprising that Mary spent a lot of time pondering, marvelling and wondering over everything that had happened. But what about us? What are we wondering over this Christmas? Are we allowing ourselves to continue to be surprised by God? Will we follow God's plans no matter where they lead, like Simeon did? Or we let God work through us and look for God working in and through other people, no matter how unlikely, like the prophet Anna. And will we celebrate God's message of salvation to all people, communicating his message of love to everyone, even the stranger or the outsider? Or perhaps are we wondering about what it means to follow Jesus and give everything to him, to take up our cross and follow him. Even though Christmas Day has passed, don't stop thinking and wondering. Open your heart and your mind and focus on letting God speak to you. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you. We thank you that Jesus did come into this world to bring hope and light and joy and peace and so much to look forward to. He brought salvation for all people, and we just worship you so much, God, that you love us so much that you wanted to save us from ourselves. Lord, we thank you and we pray that you would open our heart and open our mind . God, I pray that we would look to you and choose to continually be surprised by you, not trying to limit you or put you into a box, but instead marvel at the wonders that you perform. And God, may we follow your plans. May we choose to put aside our own desires and instead focus on you, on your promises, on your plans, and follow them wherever they lead. And God, open our eyes to the way that you work through the unexpected. The way that you work through the most unlikely of people in our own minds. We know that you don't conform to our own patterns. And so, God, we pray that we would have opened minds that allow us to see people for the worth that they truly have in you. And God, may we truly celebrate that your salvation has come, that we can know salvation because of your Son. And it's not a salvation for a select few, but a salvation for everyone. So may we proclaim it wide, proclaim it to everyone we know, that your salvation has come. Lord, may we also be aware of the cost of being a disciple. May we choose to give up our control and let you in, for you to truly be in charge of our lives. And we recognise that giving up our control may cause sorrow and pain because we don't like losing control of our lives. But we know that when we give control over to you, our lives are always going to be for the better in your kingdom and your power. And so we pray in your holy name. Amen. Amen indeed.